and today I'm joined by Karen and Brittany. Hey guys!
Hi!
Hello!
And this week, for Karen and I at least, it is book, I was going to say book hype week, which is really idiotic because it's always book hype week for us, but it is BEA week and book con week end, I guess. It's at the weekend. So we're kind of gearing up for that. And Brittany, sadly, even though she's close to New York City, will not be joining us this year. I'm so sad.
Sorry.
I know.
I'm going to come see you. I'm just not going to go to the actual thing.
Yes, that's cool. I'm down with you coming to see us. All right, so before we get into any of our discussion about BEA and BookCon and some really cool news items that we found, let's talk about what we've been reading. And we're going to start with Karen because Karen has a very long list of books that I'm looking at that she's read recently. So, as we all know, that's not the norm, and that's okay, but we want to revel in Karen's great reading ability this week. So, she's going to go first and share with us what she's been reading.
Yes, that was a great introduction. Thank you. First book was Material Girls by Elaine Demopoulos, and this book I wasn't really into in the beginning, but as I got further into it, I really started liking it. It's like dystopian future, but it centers around the fashion industry. And at first I thought it was really like superficial and I didn't really care too much about where it was going. But by the end, you kind of see that like it's much deeper than just fashion. And it has a lot of, I don't know, things that I think we see in today's society that are kind of blown out of proportion, but could be heading in that direction. So if you're into fashion, definitely check out that book because it makes you think, which I wasn't expecting. And then I read The Crown of Ptolemy by Rick Riordan, which is the third short story in his crossover series. And this one featured Percy Jackson, Annabeth Chase, and both Sadie and oh my God, what's his name? Carter, Sadie and Carter Kane. And it was really cool how he wrapped it up and everything. And I mean, the most exciting part was that we got the first chapter of Magnus Chase in the back. And I'm so excited for this book. I mean, I know I was excited before, but the voice of Magnus is like Percy Jackson, but it's sassier and it's a little bit darker. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really good story when it comes out in October. And then I read a classic, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, which I had never read before. I actually didn't know what it was about. I don't know what I was...
Wait.
I know.
Did Merima know that?
Maybe it's good that she's not on this episode.
Oh my. You were in so much trouble when she finds out.
Well, that's
my favorite book of all time.
I knew that I had to read it, not just for Merima, but
how did you get through high school without reading that?
That is an excellent question. I have no idea.
That was like required.
It probably was.
I think we even read it before high school.
I was gonna say more like seventh grade.
Yeah, like seventh grade. I think it was summer reading.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I was just a little bit
blown
away by
that. Plus, every teacher loved going to the black and white film as like a freebie class.
This is so true. Anyway, continue, Karen. I'm baffled. Go ahead.
Well, I really liked it, so that's got to be a plus. I wasn't sure what I was expecting, because you guys know that I'm not really into, like, some of the older stories and stuff, but this one was really good. I listened to it on audio, and it was really interesting. The narrator was really good, and yeah, I was really into it. So now I'm even more excited for the follow-up book, not just because, like, it's a crazy thing that there is going to be a follow-up book, but, or I guess it's supposed to be... Yeah, it does take place after. But now that I actually know what's going on, I can be a little bit more excited about it. So yes, I did like it. Sorry, Merima. next was Atlantis in Peril by T.A. Barron. And that one is the second in the Atlantis Rising series. This one was a bit more, it felt like a bit more of a transition between the first book and the third book. So while I liked it, I'm just really looking forward to the third book to find out what happens because I felt like there wasn't whole lot of action in the second one. It was a lot of character development, which I struggle with sometimes. But lastly, I read An Ember in the Ashes by Sabaa Tahir, and that was so amazing, and really disappointed that I wasn't on the review episode, but I'm going to go back and listen to it because I need to know what everybody thought. But I thought it was absolutely excellent.
See, I felt the same way. The other two, however, aren't even sure they'll read the second book.
What?
Yeah, probably not.
By the way, to clarify, last week we had some confusion on whether or not there was more than one book. And literally the day after our podcast, I got a press release saying that the Penguin Random House had picked up the second book in the series. So that they had only purchased one book from her.
Wow.
So they've now, considering it's now a New York Times best-selling book, like it's on this week's list. Yeah, probably a good call on their part.
Jen, so, we're gonna have to have a discussion about this book. Just we can leave the rest of them out of it, but
well, you know, you and I will be in New York all week together.
Yeah,
so we'll be rooming and all, so we can
yeah, get it out of the way before I arrive.
Oh no, we may just torture you for that part.
Marima and I didn't hate it, but we just don't think we'll keep reading it. We agreed on pretty much everything, which was A-okay in my book.
So, Karen, do you have any other feelings about Ember in the Ashes?
Well, just as like a general overview, I thought the writing was fantastic. It was really beautiful. It was action packed. I liked how there were two point of views. I saw that in the show notes that you guys thought that, the guy's point of view was a lot better than the girl's, more engaging or something, but, I would tend to agree with that. Like, I thought his had a lot more action and a lot more violence. Not that that's a good thing, but it kind of made you want to really keep reading. And I just, the one big thing that I noticed was that the twists and turns were really good in the story. I kept thinking she was writing herself into a corner, and I was like, how is she going to get out of this? It's literally impossible. And then out of nowhere, there'd be this perfect escape plan. And I was like, oh, I never would have thought of that. So it just kept me really engaged. I could not put it down, even though it was a monster of a book. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the second one.
What did you think about, what did you think about what's-his-name's mother, the queen, whatever she was?
The commandant?
The commandant, that's what it was. I'm like, not the queen, the other thing, the commandant. What did you think about her?
She was a terrible human being. She was really cold, and I liked how in the end you got to know a little bit more about where she was coming from, but she was a pretty horrible person, and I was, yeah, not too happy with the way that she treated pretty much everybody around her. I mean, I don't think there was a single person that she liked or was close to. And that was just really unfortunate.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. I was just curious. I figured that was one of the characters we talked about a lot. So, and she was pretty prominent.
Yeah. What did you think about, is it Helene? Is that how you say it?
Helene, yeah.
Yeah.
Helene was one of our favorites.
Okay, I'm not too sure about her. In the end, I kind of got it, but I don't know. I think I'm still kind of iffy on her.
Oh, boy. Probably a good thing you weren't on last week. Anyway.
Yeah, That
probably ended badly all around. Okay, so let's move on. And Brittany, did you read any books this week?
Yeah.
What'd you read?
Finally, I read a book. Well, I didn't finish it. I tried really hard, but I'm also trying to get through Hannibal. And as I was telling them before, it's been a rough road. I read A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness because my friend from college has been hounding me to read them. She even sent me like all three of them in like, what is it, like ebook format. She's like, you have to read all of these books. I'm like, okay. But I went to the library and I got a hard copy of it because I would rather have the book in front of me. And it's okay. It's, I mean, I swore that I was going to take a break from like witches and vampires and stuff like that. But this is more of an adult novel, so it doesn't seem as campy as YA vampires and stuff. So it's good though.
Yeah.
It's a series, so and they're like 500 pages each, so yeah. I don't know how.
What a really good way to read them is to actually listen to them. They're the narrator for those books on like Audible is fantastic.
Like, I might do that because I've been having trouble like sitting down and actually reading it.
Yeah, so no, the narrative is really cool. So you might want to give that a shot, see how that goes.
Yeah, but that's it. Just one. Just the one.
That's all. No big. So I read, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it actually comes out this week. So I want to re-mention it because I think a lot of listeners would be really interested in it. It's called I Am Pentex. And it is a super cool book about these two girls that meet when they're really young, and they're both kind of awkward and odd, and they meet when they can't participate in gym class. So they start creating this story about Princess X, and she's not your normal princess. She doesn't, you know, it's not all about fairy tales and stuff. There are lots of different things that go on, and she lives in a ghost house, and that kind of thing. And one of them draws the pictures and the other one writes the stories. And as they get older, they continue to kind of make all these things. And then one of them dies in a car crash. And for some reason, the other girl doesn't believe that she's really dead. Like, she has a really hard time coming to terms with it, and she doesn't believe it. And so the girl moves away with her mom because her mom and dad divorce. And a couple of years later, so she's like 17 now, she comes back. And as she's walking around town, she notices these stickers. And they're Princess X, and she's kind of like freaked out because the only people that knew about Princess X that knew how to draw and write about her were the two girls. So she starts to dig deeper, and she discovers this entire online community dedicated to Princess X, and there's a whole comic, like a web comic, about Princess X and all of these things that she's been going through and things that have happened to her. And so it's this really cool story that's told both in a narrative point and a comic point, like interspersed within them, about this girl who's trying to figure out if her friend is really alive or not, and kind of this underground world of comics and technology and all of these cool things that are going on. So I highly suggest it. It's a really fast read, and it's really cool if you like kind of that comic slash regular novel vibe. It's a really nice mix of the two together. So I really like that. And then I also just got in Modern Love by Aziz Ansari. And it is really, really funny. If you like his kind of humor, then this is a book you definitely want to check out. I enjoy it. I'm only about halfway through because I only just got it in. But that comes out June 4th, maybe. But I think it's going to do really well. It's pretty funny, and it's an interesting kind of skeptical take on modern romance and love. So I think it's super fun. And let's see. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Book Expo America, which starts on Wednesday. So by the time you guys listen to this, it'll actually be like the next day, because we usually release these on Tuesday. I have to miss Wednesday, sadly, because I have grad school class, which just totally cramps my style. Right? So I'm going to miss part of Book Expo, but I will be there Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday for BookCon. So Karen, what are some of the things that you are looking forward to?
Like besides free books all over the place.
Yeah, you're like a kid in a candy store. I got it. I'm there with you.
It's ridiculous. I didn't get to go last year, so I'm really excited to go this year and get back to it. It's such a good time. And you get to do it with your friends, and that's the best part. Marissa Meyer is going to be there, and I'm really excited. She's one of my favorite authors. I will read anything by her. I haven't read all of her books yet, but they're on my list, my ever-growing list. And James Dashner is also going to be there, and He is a pretty cool guy, and he's pretty nice to us at Hypeable. He knows us and Brooke, the person that covers all of the Maze Runner news and that sort of thing. So it's always excited to go say hi to him. And there's like Rainbow Rowell will be there, and Maggie Steve Otter. So just I guess the whole atmosphere is really exciting. But when you can meet a few of your favorite authors, that just kind of puts the cherry on top of everything.
Very fun. I know, there's a couple of books that I really, really want, even though, like, some of them I've already pre-ordered. Like, Jennifer L. Amrentrout will be there, and she started this new series, I think around Christmas time, and the first book in the series is called Wicked, and it's set in New Orleans, and it's kind of, like, New Orleans with, like, a fae world, so the major character in it is, like, a fae hunter. So it's a really cool series, and I love the way she describes New Orleans, and the second book in that, from what I understand, she's going to be there signing that, so I'm really excited about that.
That sounds amazing, because I just went to New Orleans for the first time this year, and absolutely fell in love with the city, and I've been wanting to read more things, like either fiction or nonfiction, about the city, because the culture there is so interesting, and there's so much, like, lore about vampires and witches and all this other stuff, and so I think I'm gonna have to find that book. Yep. And read it.
It's called Wicked. It's kind of amazing. I think you'll actually really like it now that I think about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then they're just like Sarah Rashk is gonna be there. She wrote Snow Like Ashes, and Rebecca Searle is gonna be there, and just lots of really cool people. So I'm kind of excited just to see what everyone's kind of putting out and what's happening and what's new there. Also, one of the really cool books that's going to be out is The Marvels, which I'm kind of excited about. It's from the same person that wrote Hugo Cabret, if you guys know that one. I think it's Brian Selznick, right? That's his name. I always get his name wrong. Yes, it's Brian Selznick. Thank you. But it's his newest book, and if you guys know about his work, his is a story usually interspersed with these really amazing drawings and stuff. So his newest book, The Marvels, is going to be available at BEA, so I kind of really want to get my hands on that, because I think it's going to be gorgeous. Because his artwork is just insane in these novels. Like, I love it. And then for BookCon, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. And as many of you, if not all of you, probably know, it will be one of the first times that the cast of Paper Towns is going to do a Q&A with John Green at BookCon on, I think it's Saturday night. So I'm sure the line will be psychotic, but we will try to bring you some coverage from that.
Ugh, I just have such bad flashbacks from the Fault in Our Stars one. It was so bad. I mean, I had I got the VIP pass, so I was, like, one of the first people let in. But there were people, like, trying to get in, like, while another, like, Nickelodeon kids panel was letting out. Like, I think Nickelodeon had, like, something for parents and kids right before right. it in that room. And people were just sitting in there and, like, trying to, like, hide, like, in the room. And they, like, pushed over the gate. It was incredible. I could not believe it.
Anything for John Green. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm kind of curious to see what they bring, if they bring any, like, footage or anything. I think that the trailers that they've shown have been pretty cool, so I'm curious.
Yeah, because I saw a couple of clips from it, and they were great. So they probably have more because they're further into production.
Exactly. Well, they're done. I mean, it comes out in the middle of July, so...
Yeah, I guess.
Production should really be...
Well, I saw them a month ago, and they didn't even have music scoring the clips that we saw.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay, then.
They're like, this is literally sent to us on a flash drive. Yeah, today. And I'm like, oh, okay.
As you do. All right, so let's move on to some book news. I was reading, perusing my... EW magazine that came in this week, or Entertainment Weekly, and I noticed a little blurb for Margaret Stoll's newest novel, which is going to be the Black Widow YA novels, which is kind of amazing. There's a little bit of a cover reveal, which is, what do you think about the cover? I'll let someone else speak first.
I love it, actually. I think that it's a little understated, which is nice, and I just love the red and the black, and I'm really into it. I'm really into the whole concept, but I like the cover.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. It took I had to, like, re-look at it to make sure. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I don't know how I feel about, like, the weird symbol in the O. I know it's probably meant to be, like, the Black Widow symbol, but I don't like that part. But the cover itself, I think, is really cool. I really want to know what the book is about, though. Like, I feel like we are not... There's just zero information. So I'm really hoping we get some information soon, because it comes out in October.
I don't know anything about that, but... I forgot to bring this up earlier, but I'm going to bring it up now. The Once Upon a Time companion novel with Red's backstory. I'm really looking forward to that. There was a cover reveal last week, the beginning of last week. I forget what it's called. I think it's, what is it called? It's like Red's Untold Tale. That's what it is.
Oh.
And it's going to be all about her in her like teenage years in the Enchanted Forest.
Excellent.
That'll be interesting for you two Onceable people.
Yes, very much so. All right, so let's see. So the Black Widow cover is out. We still have no idea what it's about. We'll get Red's backstory in a new Once Upon a Time novel, which is super cool. Let's talk about a little casting news for the Shadowhunters, because I just feel it needs to be done. So... The Shadowhunters is like the new life for the Mortal Instruments that will be happening on ABC Family starting, I think, early next year. And they've come out with a lot of casting announcements. The most of them I felt really strongly about. I thought that they were nice choices, or really good choices, that they were going to work. However, I'm a little concerned about Magnus's casting, which Harry Shum Jr., he was on Glee, was cast as Magnus. And I have to say, it's one of the first kind of for this casting session that I was kind of like, oh, maybe the costuming, maybe, and maybe some fun makeup and some sparkle fingernail. I don't know. I have a really hard time seeing him as Magnus.
Yeah, I agree. He is the first one that I've, like, paused on, because I think all the other ones were spot on. And, you know, it's really unfortunate, because we can just judge them on their looks right now. We don't know their merits as, you know, actors. I mean, obviously, the people that we've seen before, yes, we do. But in these roles, no. So he could be absolutely incredible. But at first glance, I really loved Godfrey Gao. I think that he looked like the Magnus in my head, and he did a really good job playing that sort of coy character where he's, you know, a little, he's mysterious, but he's also kind of upfront with his feelings, and he balanced that out really well. And maybe it's because I can't get Glee out of my head. Maybe it's because I think he doesn't look imposing enough to be Magnus, but I just cannot see Harry as Magnus. It's not coming to me. But like you said, maybe with some costuming and once he gets into the role, it'll be amazing. So I'm trying not to judge it too much right now, but at first I was pretty disappointed by it.
What do you think of the color of, I forget her name, whoever's playing the lead, her hair is like really bright orange, like it's described in the books, and I think I like it. There was a picture, Harry Shum Jr. posted a photo, I think it was yesterday on Twitter, of him and her hair is just gorgeous. Like, it is so orange, though. Like, it looks like it's on fire. It's really cool.
But I almost think that if they stick, and I've said this before, the closer they can stick to the books with some wiggle room and, you know, some room to kind of make creative decisions, I think they'll do better if they can keep it as close as possible. So if they want to make her hair orange like it is in the books, awesome. But yeah, I thought it was cool, because I did see a picture of her and I thought her hair was super bright, but I kind of like it and it works, you know? So I'm just hoping they stick to the book and bring in more of the like, not just the demons that are the bad ones, but all the other people. And, like, they go to the little, like, cafe that they like to go eat at because it's both, you know, mundane and Shadowhunter. And it, you know what I mean? Like, I really want it to be more like it is in the book. And we, so we get more details of the world. And I want a Magnus that I like. But hey, so I'm fingers crossed that this all works out. We shall see, I guess. So, let's move on to a little bit of book news, or some more book news. I guess we're kind of jumping back and forth. So, interestingly, you guys may have heard of this. John Scalzi signed a 13-book deal, including YA novels, with Tor Books. 13 books. You guys, that's like a decade's worth of writing that he's going to have to do. It's insane. And, oh, did I mention how much he's getting paid for these 13 books? $3.4 million.
Must be nice.
Right. I know. I'm like, that is insane.
I mean, he even like, mentioned, he was like, well, at least I know what I'm doing for the next 10 years. It's like, he doesn't even have to worry about it. He just knows that he's going to be writing and probably enjoying some tea and having some say on what's going on with all of these things that he has also being adapted for television.
Right. I mean, he's just, it's kind of crazy. So he does have three books that are currently under development for television, which is Red Shirts, Old Man's War, and Lock In. So Red Shirts is for FX, Old Man's War is for Sci-Fi, and Lock In is for Legendary TV. To be fair, I have never heard of Legendary TV.
Neither.
But that's just, it's kind of, that's a lot, you guys. 13 books, $3.4 million is insane.
I mean, this, I like for him, though.
That, I mean, it's awesome. But I, also, just to note, he's never had a number one best-selling book. But what is noted in the article is that he may not have ever had a number one bestseller, but if you read one Scalzi novel, you're typically going to go out and buy the others. So his backlist sells really, really well. So it's worth it to Tor in their minds. Their justification is he's going to sell, whether or not he sells them enough all at once to make the list or not. Isn't really relevant because he sells consistently and over long periods of time. So, I think it's really interesting, and I will be curious to see how that all pans out in the long run.
Yeah, I like that one of the series that he's planning on writing is a new epic space opera.
Who doesn't love a good space opera?
I mean, yeah.
Come on, let's be real.
I've actually read one of his books before. It's called The B-Team. It was the first book in his Human Division series, which I guess is part of the Old Man's War, like, world. This is the first and only book I've read by him. And I actually think I listened to the audio version of it, but it was really good. And I mean, he's a great writer, and I've actually been following him on Twitter for quite a while. He is hilarious. He's like Chuck Wendig level of ridiculousness, which is pretty out there. Yeah.
I should follow him.
He's pretty great. I mean, his last tweet is banana bread update. It was delicious. So, like, he's just really random and, and funny, and he's a cool guy. So, I'm pretty excited about this, especially YA stuff, and I've been wanting to read a lot more science fiction. Like, I just keep gravitating towards that lately, so I think maybe I'll go back and read some of his other stuff, too.
I mean, I think it would be cool just to see. It just, that's such a, like, a big deal to me. That's a huge contract to be under. As you said, you know, he now knows exactly what he'll be doing for the next 10 years or so. Like, it's pretty much planned out, so it's all good. So,
yeah, I mean, as a writer, that's pretty exciting news when you know what you're gonna be doing.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I don't know, should be very interesting. All right, so the next bit of information we have is that some of you may have heard of her. Her name is Erin Stein, and she used to work at Little Brown. She was the publisher for Kami Garcia, and she is starting a new imprint at, I want to say it's Macmillan. And
yeah, you're
she,
right.
Thank you. I do try to remember this. And she's actually calling it imprint. So that's kind of interesting. I like it, you know. So she's basically starting this entire print from scratch. So I think that's really fun and interesting and different. And I think it's also a huge challenge in a lot of ways. It's kind of a big undertaking. So what do you guys think about starting a new kind of, well, imprint, named imprint? I don't know. It's too many imprints to talk about, but what do you guys think about that?
First of all, it's a very large scope that she has, because I think it said, what did it say? It's like picture books and young adult and middle grade. And I feel like young adult has such a big market right now that, like, for her to combine all of these and, like, get it from the ground up is, like, just insane. I can't imagine that kind of work and research that has to go into that. So I don't know. I love it. I would love to be involved in, like, picture books, like an elf, like what his dad does.
Really cool, but I think it's like a really challenging market. Like, I don't know. It scares me. But interestingly, Kami Garcia moved with Aaron Stein. So she will have a book coming out through Imprint in 2016, and it's called The Lovely Reckless, and it's a contemporary YA romance about the daughter of an undercover detective who falls for the car thief her father is trying to nab. So that's kind of interesting that she moved. I guess that's kind of the norm, though, that authors will often move with their editors if it's someone they've worked with for a really long time. So it's kind of interesting that she's shifted over and she's writing some new different things that are unlike her paranormal fantasies and stuff. So
and I just read this line that says she has one full-time employee right now.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sure that will change quickly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's pretty intense. That's kind of a huge endeavor. And it's a lot to be given, I think, as, you know, someone in the industry. Here you go. Here's an imprint for you to cultivate. Have at it. I would be terrified. So best of luck to her with that lovely new job with all kinds of new books that she can get. I'm kind of excited to see what she comes up with. All right, so let's talk just briefly about a couple of a book deal that came up within the last couple of weeks, and an adaptation that is coming up. So first, there is a book deal. It's called Nightspeed by Chris Howard. Nightspeed is about a teen who, in an act of revenge, uses a highly addictive drug that bestows superhuman strength and speed in order to infiltrate an elite gang of breaknecks using the drug to commit crimes. This comes out in the summer of 2016, and it has a cinematic flair of The Matrix, which is kind of interesting. So what do you guys think about that?
Sounds interesting. It's always hard with these things because you get like two sentences and you're supposed to judge, you know, what it's going to be like based on those two sentences. But I think it sounds different. It sounds kind of cool. I love The Matrix, so I'm into that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think it fits in with where we are in television too, but in books. You got like some Flash type stuff in there. Yes. And like a different type of superhero that's not a superhero because it's a drug, not really a lightning bolt hitting you and you can run really fast. I think that's what The Flash is about. I've never seen it.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
Good.
It kind of reminds me of Limitless. Isn't that movie?
Ooh, yes. Now soon to be a
TV series. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, and then there was this other book option, because this book is it's called Dare Me, and it's by author Megan Abbott. And it has been brought to series for HBO. HBO is always a huge one for picking up novels and making them into TV series. She will actually get to write the episode for the series, which I think is really cool. Because that is not typical. And Abbott also has another project, and it's with MTV, and it's based on her novel Fever. So she's got two different projects in the works for TV that are based on her novels, which is kind of really cool. So, Karen, do you know anything about Fever, Karen?
No, this is actually literally the first time that I've ever heard about this. So I'm like, wait, there's an MTV show coming out that I don't know about?
Exactly.
Yeah, so no idea. Suddenly extremely interested in it. But also, the fact that HBO is developing her other one, I feel like that's huge because yeah. HBO knows what they're doing. I mean, they probably don't really have to pick up a whole lot of new things. I mean, I know things are always turning over and they're always adding and getting rid of stuff. But, I mean, Game of Thrones is kind of like their bread and butter. They could probably just live off of that at this point. But the fact that they're interested in this makes me really excited because they're going to have the right budget to put a lot of detail into it, which I really love in television shows. So, yeah, I'll be looking into this.
Yeah, and I'm glad that she's writing the first episode because they've had a lot of success with Tom Perrotta staying on for The Leftovers. He's written most of the series with Damon Lindelof. So it's kind of cool because what they're doing now is they ran out of material from the book for the first. They did the entire book in the first season.
Oh,
so
wow.
Season two is completely like it's in the same world, but it's going to be a different story, like a continuation of it. So he's not writing a sequel, but in a sense he is writing a sequel.
Oh, that's super cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of the episodes, or at least like co-authored a lot of the episodes. And I mean there were only 10, but
still, I mean I think anytime you can incorporate an author into penning part of a script or being involved in the creative process, I think it keeps the integrity of the novel and the intent of the novel. I mean, if you guys look back at Gone Girl, Gillian Flynn wrote that. She wrote the novel and she wrote the script, and that script was fantastic. I loved that movie. And I thought it did a lot of justice to what the characters were in her book, but again, she knows them so well. It keeps that integrity of the characters and everything we learn about in the books in the script as well. So I think the more involved an author can be, the better off you are. In some cases, or most cases. I know for some people that is not always the truth, but I think in a lot of cases it works really, really well. So that's cool. Kind of excited about that. So do you guys have anything else for this episode? Anything you wanted to bring up that we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. I sent you my list of books to get me.
Yes, I have yours and Marima's shopping list. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's see what I can do about that.
I don't know. I think,
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
Karen, how about you? Anything else?
Well, I just looked up this, The Fever really quick on MTV, and it says that, they'll be working with Sarah Jessica Parker's production company and producer Karen Rosenfeld, who worked on The Book Thief, The Devil Wears Prada, and Twilight. So those are some pretty good names attached. And, The Fever follows a group of adolescent girls who begin to fall ill with a strange fever, symptoms of which include convulsions and foaming at the mouth. And there's a quote here, throughout, Abbott grounds the story in unsettling realism, but it's the final act marked by a gothic, deeply weird twist where the fever gets you too. And I feel like that's definitely up MTV's alley at this point because they're doing a lot of darker stuff with Teen Wolf, with Scream, with Eye Candy. I mean, Eye Candy got canceled, but yeah, I know. I'm still really upset about it too. But it's definitely something to look out for. I'll be looking into this for sure.
Cool. I like it. All right. So I guess until next time when we talk all about our experience at BEA and BookCon, we will sign off for now. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Karen.
Bye, guys.